I will also give thee into their hand. And they shall throw down thine eminent place, and break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take away thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. That's what would happen to Israel because of their sins. And there we see this represented in the battle of Goliath and Israel. Israel had been exposed. Their sin was before God. What shall be done to the man that has exposed our sin? And the only solution was, brethren and sisters, circumcision. There's a little echo there of Gilgal again, isn't there? Where one of the first things they did at Gilgal, they removed the reproach of Egypt and they circumcised themselves and renewed their covenant. And that's what David was about to do. He was about to cut off the flesh. He calls him the uncircumcised Philistine, and it had to be removed. Israel had to be circumcised again. And David was about to perform the work of a priest, as it were. He was going to cover Israel's nakedness by offering a sacrifice. And Goliath was going to be the victim, the sacrifice that he was going to offer up before God. There was going to be a circumcision in Israel. And then in verse 32 he says, let no man's heart fail because of him. And he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 20, isn't he? We've already looked at that in one context, but just look at it again, brethren, just to see what he's saying. Deuteronomy chapter 20. David's quoting from it. Verses 1 to 3. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and the people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh to the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to thee. And he shall say, hear, O Israel, ye reproach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts be faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. And that's what David says. Let no man's heart fail because of him. David was sensitive to God's hand in his life. And Saul only became aware of this after the fact, unfortunately. Yahweh be with thee. And what does Saul do? Verse 38. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. He also armed him with his coat of mail, and David girded, and he girded him with the sword of his armor. Three items for the warrior. Isn't it interesting that that's what the flesh is represented by? Three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And Saul gave him three weapons to deal with Goliath. And they were the weapons of a warrior. And David refused them. He refused to put on the armor of Saul. And what he did in turn, he took three weapons of his own. Verse 40, he chose his staff, five smooth stones of the brook. He put them in his shepherd's bag and he took a sling. So he had his shepherd's bag, his staff, and his sling. And he went out to battle with these three items, coupled with the word of God's grace, the five smooth stones. Five is the number of grace, isn't it, brethren and sisters? And the smooth stones we can recall from Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul speaks about the washing of water by the word. And the smooth stones had been washed by the word in the stream of life. And that's what David took with him, the five smooth stones. Or as Paul called it in Acts chapter 20, when he committed them to the grace of God, the word of his grace. And he went out as a shepherd with his staff his purse and his sling. Why did he reject Saul's offer of the armour, brethren? The answer is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And David appreciated that principle. You see, there are lots of times in our lives when we do battle with sin on sin's terms. And as soon as we do that, we're going to fail miserably, brethren and sisters. If we try to challenge and deal with sin on its terms, we will fail. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we deal with sin on God's terms, with a shepherd's staff, with the food bag, and with the sling, and the word of his grace. Have you ever thought, brethren and sisters, what David was thinking as he went down into battle in the valley of Elah? There are two psalms which reflect the circumstances of this particular period. Psalm 144 and Psalm 8. And it seems to me that Psalm 144 is a psalm which talks about the battle psalm, as it were, as David set out to deal with Goliath. Now you think of a man of about 17 or 18 years of age going down into the valley of Elah, crossing the plain, the valley, and this mountain of a man fully clothed in battle gear, the armor bearer with his shield before him, and the shepherd with his loincloth, his staff, his food bag, and his sling. What was David thinking about as he went down into battle? Let's just read Psalm 144, some of the ideas that come out of that psalm. Blessed be Yahweh my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and in he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like unto vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. And that's what he saw, brethren and sisters, when he saw this 9-foot giant. Man is like unto vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow down thy heavens, O Lord, come down. Touch the mountains and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above and rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, the uncircumcised Philistine, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That's what David saw. Verse 10, it is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. What a man of faith, brethren, that he could go into battle faced with the dangers that were in front of him, and all he could see was a big lump of flesh to be dealt with by God Almighty. And as he ran towards the battle, taking out of the purse one of the smooth stones, he slung it at his head, and he stunned him. And he took his sword, and he beheaded him, and triumphantly stood upon him. And David wrote Psalm 8 to commemorate that occasion. Psalm 8 is his victory psalm, brethren and sisters. And it's a psalm which is quoted many times in the New Testament. Let's just read it together. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and the fishes of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And so in the breakdown of the psalm we see God's name is excellent. The enemy of sin has been destroyed. And that has been achieved by God visiting fallen men. And the outcome is that man is crowned with glory and honor, and all things are under his feet. Now just notice, brethren and sisters, how that fits into the context of David's victory over Goliath. The first point, God's name is excellent in the earth. And just look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. And David alludes to this in verse 46. He says, "This day will Yahweh deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and all the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven." How excellent is thy name in all the earth, that thou mayest know that there is a God in the earth, and that his name is exalted. The enemy of sin being destroyed in verse 2. Is verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword in David's hand. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, a young man. It says there that that was achieved by visiting fallen men. Without looking it up, we made reference to this yesterday. The Lord hath commanded. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, God had already planned David's role within his purpose. God had commanded, the commandment had gone forth to visit men. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. And David was crowned with glory and honor in chapter 18 and verse 6. But when they returned from the battle, verse 7 says, the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And so they honored David above the king. And all things were put under David's feet. And we look at that in verse 51 of chapter 17. David ran, and he stood upon the Philistine. And he shouted, and pursued the Philistines, until thou come to the valley, and to the gates of Ekron. It's a psalm which is David's victory psalm, brethren and sisters. But you see, the psalm was only partially fulfilled in the life of David, wasn't it? The psalm is based primarily upon the events of Genesis chapter 1, are they not? You remember what it says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, where God says, "Let man have dominion over all the earth." And when we come down to Psalm 8, David, with his visionary mind, could see the fulfillment of that in its typical representation over Goliath. "Thou hast made him to have dominion, thou hast put all things under his feet." But the work of David was only a type of the greater of David's. And the Apostle Paul takes the theme up in Hebrews chapter 2, doesn't he? And he reminds us that that work was never completed by David. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8, he quotes from Psalm 8 and says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." And so the work of David was a type of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a work which would be accomplished upon the cross. And David, of course, the giant was slain in two stages. The first was a blow to the head with a stone, and it stunned him. It rendered him unconscious. And the second one was where he took Goliath's sword and with his own weapon he cut off his head. And that was the way the Lord Jesus Christ did it, wasn't it? The battle over sin was done in two stages. The first stage commenced at his baptism, when he said in Matthew chapter 3, "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And the righteousness of God had to be upheld. And so he rendered sin impotent in the mind by controlling the flesh. First in the wilderness in that 40 days, and then secondly throughout the whole 3 years of his life, he suppressed the impulses of the flesh by resisting the temptation. But he issued the final blow by taking the very weapon of sin and destroying it in the flesh on the cross, and he said, "It is finished." Victory over the flesh. And it's there, brethren and sisters, where the battle has got to be won, where you and I have got to challenge the flesh. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, and we must take these words to ourselves very dearly. He says at verse 3, "What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And you and I, brethren and sisters, have got to challenge sin within the environment in which we live, within the flesh. And Paul tells us, verse 6, "To be carnally minded is death." If our thoughts, if the meditations of our hearts are on fleshly things, we have one thing to look forward to, and that is the grave. Because to be carnally minded is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And we, brethren and sisters, have got to take the challenge. And our minds have got to be renewed. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, "Be not conformed to this world," verse 2, "but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that's where the battle takes place. And we can only win that war if the Word of God replaces the things of the flesh. And we have a world outside there that is ready to take residence in our life. It comes at us from all avenues of life. The magazines, the books, the radio, the television, the internet, the very visual things that we see on the streets, all these things press upon our lives and challenge the things of God. And we've got to resist that challenge through the influence of God's Word. Let us not be faint-hearted nor fear. And if we think, brethren and sisters, that we can meet the challenge of sin on our terms, we are sadly mistaken. I want us to go to one passage, brethren and sisters, which is quoted in the New Testament to demonstrate the necessity to be like David and to put our trust in God. And it's Matthew 11. Now, verse 25, it's at the time when many of the cities of Israel repented not when they saw the mighty works which Jesus did. I mean, Jesus physically demonstrated to the people of his day that all power had been given to him in heaven and earth, and that he had power over diseases and afflictions and demoniac possession. And because Israel refused it, Jesus prayed to his Father in verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then he continues, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And Jesus is referring to Psalm 8. Just look at the parallel, brethren and sisters, as we go through Psalm 8 and Jesus' prayer. His reference to heaven and earth in verse 25. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. There were babes and sucklings that had overcome sin. And Jesus reminds us that God had revealed it, his purpose, to those who were babes. He speaks about all things being delivered unto me of my Father. And the psalm says that he hath put all things under his feet. And in Psalm 8, he talks about stilling the avenger. And it's an interesting word in the context of what Jesus says here, because the word to still is the Hebrew word Sabbath. He has caused to rest the avenger. But Jesus reminds us that that rest can only be accomplished through putting our trust and our confidence and yoking ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we think, brethren and sisters, that we can overcome sin on our terms, through our strength, we are sadly mistaken. We have to yoke ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to go into battle as David did. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he shall deliver me out of this uncircumcised Philistine. And when we meet our giants in life, when the challenges of the flesh well up inside us and challenge us to turn our backs on the things of the truth, let's allow our minds to reflect upon God's word. Let's yoke ourselves with the one who has already achieved the victory and be confident that God, who never forsook David, will never forsake us. Thank you.